Come on over, if you will, please, to the book of Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. If you'd like to stand for a second, I know some of you have been sitting already for an hour's worth of preaching there. We talked about the Lord is at hand there, and the moderation be known unto all men. Now here comes a difficult one, verse number 6. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Brother Larry, you pray right quick, would you please? And let's get into this pretty quick. Along the lines of being a baby, babies tend to worry, if you ever notice that. Have you ever noticed that about babies? They tend to fret over things that are real to them. If you're fool enough to let them watch a horror movie, the creature from the Black Lagoon or some giant monkey or something, you know, that's coming in and that kind of a deal and falls in love with a woman and bestiality and all that kind of a deal. If that's what you choose to let them do, or the mummy or Dracula or werewolves and all this other kind of stuff, if you choose to do that, you're the parent. I'm for you doing whatever you want, free will. But sometimes what happens with kids is it makes them anxious because they think those things are real. It plants thoughts in their mind that makes them nervous. I know one lady, she said, I made one of the worst mistakes I could ever make by they had some movie on about this tornado thing and these tornado chasers and stuff, these storm chasers, and they had that movie on there, and the tornado came through there and destroyed all this stuff, and then they watched all these YouTube videos of these storm chasers and watching those horrible storms. And the first time there was a severe clap of thunder and a flash of lightning, that little baby was just shaken and scared, slapped to death, and went running into mom and daddy, because in their mind, that clap of thunder meant a tornado was coming, and they were fixing to be swept off the map, and so-and-so got killed in that, and the ambulances came, and the fire truck came, and the mom is trying to calm the kid down to say to the kid, no, it's not the same thing. Yeah, well, the kid's seen pictures of something that they think is real at that point. Sometimes as baby Christians, we become anxious over things, and the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, be careful for nothing. You're overly anxious. You're overly worried about things you cannot control anyway. You have the wrong concept. You have the wrong idea of what it is that's actually going on. So the Apostle Paul doesn't say, hey, it's okay to be careful about these things. Careful about certain things, but worrying carries it a whole different notch. It is the attribute of a baby to worry about things that you can't control. That doesn't mean you should be nonchalant, but statistical fact, 80% of the things you worry about never even come to fruition. That means 80% of the time we worry, we're worrying about things and wasting our hard drive space. Now, I don't know about you. There's enough up there as it is. If I add that kind of a stuff, I'm liable to have a lockdown or a meltdown and have to call some computer whiz to unjam all that stuff up there. But anxiousness and anxiety is the sign of a carnal Christian, a baby Christian. Now, look, if you got problems with that, let me finish before you immediately say, well, you don't know my case. Okay. I got real worries and concerns. Okay. All right. You always justify worrying what you worry about. And the truth is that a lot that you worry about, you can't control. Thank you. There's nothing you can do about that. All right, now, notice what he says here. Be careful for nothing. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. We could easily go through this thing, the way to handle worry is prayer. But it may be a little bit more than that. Look, if you will, please, in Psalms chapter number 55. Psalms 55. Now, I'm not getting on to you. I'm simply saying, do you see that the natural attribute, the natural way of looking at things for a baby is to be worried about things that an adult doesn't worry about? Thunderstorm comes? Probably not too jacked up. Pretty regular around here, right? Thunder roars. Lightning flashes, the rain comes, we're all good tomorrow. But if a baby has been processed the wrong way, you know what he thinks? End of the world. If a person has been through sometimes financial ruin, they think every time the stock market bounces into the world, we're going to all be jumping off of buildings because everything's over and done with. Thank you, Brother Larry. I appreciate it. So here's the thing that you need to understand. Part of what you're seeing in this passage is that he's fixing to get to, when we get a little further down here in Philippians chapter number 4, about what you're thinking on. Part of this is sort of an oxymoron. It's a paradox. It's, if these attributes exist in me, it is literally telling me what I am. Trouble does not make you. It reveals what you are. What you worry about, what you are overly consumed about, tells you how much faith you have in the Lord to even handle those things you think are beyond Him to handle. Lord, you don't think that's true? Why are you worrying about it? You don't think the Lord can handle it, or you wouldn't be worrying about it. Or He hasn't handled it yet, or not in the way you think He should, and you think, Lord, if You'll just give me the reins, I got it. Because you're saying, I'm not going to, with prayer and thanksgiving, for what? The thing I'm worried about. With prayer, what's the prayer? The second command there is first I'm to go to prayer, and then the first thing in prayer about worry is, I'm supposed to thank God for what I'm worrying about. But some of you are going to have a hard time there because you're worried about a person you don't like. And that is consuming you. And so you get ready to pray and you're like, God, I'm really worried about this. And I'm just supposed to, yeah, you're supposed to thank me for that person. I can't. You don't know what they did. I ain't doing it. Lord said, okay, stay worried then. You don't want to overcome your worry enough to follow the plan that I gave you to overcome the worry. Good, brother. Well, the doctor said, I might have cancer. Okay? The key word there is might. And here's what I'm supposed to do. Take it seriously. Go to the doctor. Get checked. I'm supposed to pray and say, Lord, thank You for the cancer. Don't know why. Don't know what's going on. Might need to clean up some of my habits. Might need to do something different. Might be that I'm going to be used as a testimony for something else. Lord, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. You can do with me whatever You want to do with me. Thank You, Lord, for the cancer. That's what the Bible says. You see, the hard thing for us is that, how do I do that? The leper comes back. What does he do? He thanks the Lord. Yeah, for the healing. No, I don't think so. Giving glory to God means he comes and thanks God for what brought him to God. Amen. And what brought him to God was the fact that he had leprosy, and he would not have met God had he not had the leprosy, and he would have died and gone to hell. So he said, thank You, Lord. I sure do appreciate what? The healing? No. That I had the leprosy, or I would not have ever seen You do in my life what You did, I'd have gone to hell. Now the Lord's like, that's pretty high stinking cotton. Where are the other nine with all the other Baptists? God knew whatever it is that is irking you, whatever it is bothering you, whatever it is under your skin, God knew it before it ever came into your life. And He didn't stop it. So He must think all things work together for good. Must be good to show you something about yourself. Not about the other person. Lord, do You know who they, what they done? The Lord's like, wow. You are such a baby. You are so blinded by what you are doing and have done to so many other people. All you care about is when somebody does something to you. What He says is, prayer first. When I get anxious, when I become overly careful, when I'm beginning to, what am I going to do? And I just don't know. I'm just stop. Pray. And thank God for what that thing is. What that thanks does is, when we enter into His presence, this is a command, by the way, it is not a suggestion. When we enter into His presence with, it's just like the Ten Commandments. When we enter into His presence with praise and thanksgiving, it is not only for the things that are going our way. There is no more time that you need His presence than when you are in trouble. When something is not going right, when the diagnosis didn't go right, when there's conflict in the marriage, that's the time. So the preconceived conjecture is, the notion is, when you come into His presence, I come in praising Him for what? I'm in a ship that's going down. Amen. And thank you for the ship and right where I'm at. Amen. Because the concept is, I'm here, I'm going to praise Him and thank so I can get in and talk to Him. Now, look, maybe you're different than me. Maybe you're like super hyper spiritual. I don't say much about it, but I got sick one time and I did learn a couple of things. And one of those things was is that every time I came in there kicking the dirt and all that kind of stuff and pulled that why me garbage, the Lord was like, you can check that at the gate, man. Psst. Are you serious? Stay out there in the nursery. You want to come in here and talk to me? Then you need to understand some things about me. I never griped and complained about these stains in my these marks in my hand. I never complained about the ones in my feet. I never complained about the one on my side. I never complained about the scratch marks across my shoulder or the brow that I got, the ones I got on my brow for you. I'm not interested in talking to children. Children don't talk, they babble. Get out. You want to come see me? Learn to thank me for the trouble. Learn to praise me for the problems. Learn to, you want to get in close to me? You want to get next to me? Learn to praise me and thank me when you walk in the door. Now I'm like, hey, come on in, man. We on some high cotton. I can now communicate with you in a way that other babies can't understand. He doesn't do it for everyone. He does it for the special one. And if Christians would learn, man, I want to get in His presence. You know what the charismatic said? Oh, man, I just want to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven up. Our God is... And they get that riff going, and it goes around, and it goes around. And everyone is singing that because they're healthy, and they're doing fine, and everything's great, and it's a stinking put on, and it's a facade. The real worship of God comes when I'm saying, Lord, thank you for the divorce, and thank you for the death, and thank you for the disease, and thank you for the trouble. And man, you sure are good. And I sure do appreciate you. Of all the people in the whole world you could have done this to, you allowed this to happen to me so I could come into your presence and I could have some time with you and I can talk to you. And the Lord said, I love to talk to somebody who understands where I'm coming from. Amen. Babies don't get it. Babies are always, get me out of this stinking mess. The Lord said, not my will but thine be done. And for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. He never said, get me out. Get me out. The Lord said, ah. He said, okay. Not my will but thine be done. And He smiled. He embraced it. He was glad. He didn't have to. He's still all God. He could have pulled the God card. I'm God, I'll just kill them all and let the devil have them and I'll create a whole new group. He learned some things about praise. Psalm 55 is making any sense. Some of you are like, this just don't sound right. Without being snide or sarcastic, it's time we set aside our diapers. It's time we put down the bottle. It's time we got rid of the pablum. It's time we sat up to the table and put ourselves there and said, God, I want to be in your presence no matter what the cost. And if you choose me to be the one that gets hammered, hammer away! Amen. Man, I don't really... I want to be close, but not that close. Enter into His presence with praise and thanksgiving. Now the Bible's over there telling me that I'm supposed to come in there and thank the Lord for the thing giving me the trouble. Well, that's what He said. Well, I don't think that's what it really means. It's in the same verse.
That's Bible School 101. You can't beat it. It's sound. Why? It is contextually sound. Notice what he says in Psalm 55. Come all the way down quickly to verse number 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be what? Well, is it true or not? Well, but preacher, you know, some people get, you know, Elijah, he kind of got moved. Well, wait, you didn't look at the end of the story. You ask Elijah, greatest time in his life, he'd say, Juniper Junction. Followed quickly by the darkness of the cave. Moses, what do you think? Man, when I hit the rock, Lord killed me dead. Man, was that a great time. You say it sounds insane. No, it's biblical. What do you think the greatest time was for us as creation? It's the day He went to Calvary. He tells you there, He said, I've never seen the righteous. You know what He says? He said, I shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. I'll stand with you. I'll be with you. Look, if you will, 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. You believe the promises of God?
Amen.
Well, how about we put them in place? Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, why is it men, grown men, Christian men, why is it that it's always the older women, no offense intended, that seem to grab this principle so much quicker than you do? In the Bible, it is more times men than it is women that are under God's hammer, and they're the ones that are trying to set the standard. And yet today, we have men acting like women when it comes to this issue. It's like, well, I didn't get my way. I didn't get my way. I didn't get recognized. I didn't get appreciated. Nobody said anything to me. I just want to... Here comes the diaper in the bottle. You're so twisted around yourself. You couldn't see God because why? I have to come in and say, Lord, I'm the problem. Amen. Can't believe You let me have trouble. You know how most of us respond when we have trouble? Why are You troubling me? Why aren't You troubled Joel Osteen? Because the Lord said, I don't care about him. Why don't you trouble Jimmy Swaggart or whoever else you want to put in there? Pearman in Texas. Why don't you trouble them? The Lord's like, because I don't care. I care about you. And the only way that I can show you is not by prospering you and lifting you up. That comes later. The way I can show you is to allow you to go through things that only I can get you through and create a relationship between the two of us that is unspeakable and unknowable to people that haven't been through the trouble. God said, I love you. Hammer time. Man, it'd be a blessing. Testimony time. Woo! I'm under the hammer. The Lord's got me on the anvil. I have a thing written in my Bible. A friend wrote me years ago. You know what he said? I understand the fire. But it's all this framing He does on you after He takes you out before He puts you back in that's killing me. He heats you up to beat you and shape you and mold you into what He would have you to be. But you know what we say? Why can't I have all that stuff? You know what would help you so much if you could understand you don't have anything that God thinks is good for you? And you don't have it because God said, that ain't the direction I want you to go. And that ain't who I want you to be. And if you had all that, you might be like the one that's got it. Are you sure you want all that? Why not just say, Lord, hey, look, I got no idea. You see in the future and You see me. Tell me how I'm going to match where You want me to be. I'm going to let You do it. But Lord, I just think if I had this, if I think that was fixed in my life, if I think my daughter was right, my son was right, my grandchild was right, if I had this amount of money, if this was paid for, if that was done, if this was taken care of, if that was taken, this or that, and this and that, and all the other, the Lord's like, wow, you think I have to do all that stuff in order for you to be happy? What a baby. What a baby. You don't know nothing about me. I told a young man today in a rather lengthy meeting, because you can take that little bit of bitterness because he's doing right and somebody else is not. And I explained to him, no matter how right you do, God is not going to override their free will to make you happy. You have to thank God for the mess because of what it shows in you. And what it shows in you is you're trying to manipulate God's hand and let you play God. Maybe that's in your life because God has something He can do, but He's got to use that tool to make you what He needs to be. 1 Peter chapter number 5, are you still with me? Look, if you will, please, in verse number 7. You know this verse. Casting all your what? Upon Him, for He careth for you. Can I say care there is doubt, worry, concern? How would you do with that? You know, if I were to ask some of you, come if you will, please, to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. If I were to ask some of you what your Isaac was in your life, you know what it would be for some of you? Honestly, with all my heart. It would be what you worry about. You've built an idol to it. You worship it. You're fine as long as they're not in church. Right? You're fine as long as she doesn't talk to you. You're fine as long as... That's the attributes of a baby. I'm fine as long as I'm getting what I want. If not, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cry. I'm going to scream. I'll wet my diaper. I'll poop in my pants. I'll throw the bottle across the room until you give me what I want. You ever been in a restaurant? And the kid's over there with a new parent, and they're over there and they're looking at the parent. And the parent goes, oh, hands it to the kid, the kid looks around. And when the minute the kid is no longer the attention, and then all the attention turns to the kid, pick it back up, oh, thank you, thank you. All the attention, yeah, oh, this is so much fun. Yeah, and you turn to talk to somebody else. They're training you. You know what some of you do? You do the same thing with the Lord. The second you think He took His eyes off you, you're going to pay attention to me. I'm important. You need to listen to me. The Lord's like, hey, look, I ain't in the business of listening to babies. Babies can't communicate. I guess it sounds like I'm being hard on you. But I don't know any other way to help you except to try to point some things out. Man, it's hot in here. Matthew chapter number 6. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and body than raiment? Heck no! It's all about steak and shrimp and lobster and Hart Schaffner and Marks. Or whoever's out there now. Jimmy Choo's makes the best shoes. Woman comes in. Why you got your shoe up there? You see who that label is right there? See what that is? Yeah, man. That right there is just as good as Noritake China. That's Louis Vuitton. That's got the CC on it there. How am I doing? Getting too uncomfortable for you? Isn't there more to life than just what you got on the outside? Isn't there more to life than just the old man? Isn't there more to life? Yes, there's more to life. There's the new man that is begging to get out. Amen. Let me out. No, I'm covered up in purple and fair sumptuously every day. Okay. But he goes on to say, behold the fowls of the air. I happen to like peacocks. For they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are they not better than they? I don't know. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? I'm short. Okay, go get on a stretcher. You can worry about it until the cows come home. It's just your genetic makeup. I'm height challenged. You're an idiot. You're short. That's all there is to it. You didn't have nothing to do. It's not like, hey, Lord, could you make me short, please? And if you're tall, you're tall. You didn't have nothing to do with that. Being tall don't make you all that. I met two big old giants today, man. Them suckers are about 7 feet tall, man. It's kind of like, hey, how you doing up there? What's the weather like? You think you're big till somebody bigger comes in. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, here's the seed of my worry. It's a lack of faith. Who would have ever thought that my worry, the root cause is I really don't have the faith I claim to have that everybody thinks I have. I don't have the faith to believe that God can take care of all that. He can't take care of me. I mean, I got to get everything I can and lay up as much as I can. I got to make sure I got every base covered because God can't take care of me. It's contrary to the Bible. Well, Lord helps him that helps himself, preacher. Spoken by a very proud man who's already got a barn full. You're bragging on yourself. For years in this country, for years in this nation, we talked about the World War II generation as being an individual's made up of character. And I say to you, hogwash. They were wrapped up in their reputation. They were worried about how their status was. And they did things, what we called character, to simply preserve who they thought they were perceived to be. And we called it character, and it was full of pride. You try to get one of those jacklegs saved nowadays, and they'll near about spit in your face. Why? We're World War II. We're responsible for liberating you from Germany. You might want to run that tape back again and study history, pal. First of all, God is the one that liberated this nation, and no human hand. He used human hands to do it. But second of all, you might not have had as much to do with it as you would like to believe. You just happen to know how to manipulate pieces on a chessboard to make it look like you won. Let's continue. Therefore, verse 31... Who would have ever thought a message like this would make people ready to leave the church? Preach on smoking and drinking, and they walk out the door for that. But man, you're telling me don't worry? No, I'm not telling you. The Bible said that. I'm not telling you that. That's the mistake. With all due respect, that's a cheap shot on your part to make me the one that's responsible for what the Bible says. You don't get to hide behind that. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. That's the Bible, not the preacher. You don't have to yell. Well, you're deaf. Take no thought, anything saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? The dogs who are all about themselves. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all things. Uh-oh. When I got the context of this verse, Brother Brad, it about made me regurgitate. In the old days, I would say puke. Because the context is part of the seed of my worry. And I want you to notice he uses kingdom of God, not kingdom of heaven. Is that I'm not putting Him first. I haven't truly surrendered and said, Lord, not my will but thine be done. I haven't allowed myself. We have quoted this verse so many times. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many times have we quoted that verse and say, if you live righteous and do righteous, God will give you everything you need. The context is that you're worrying about things that God says, if you put me first, I'll take care of everything you need. Amen. Meaning that if you're worrying, He's not first. Man, I felt like somebody kicked me in the stomach. And then he says, at the end of that, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Why? Because the Lord's first. On the morrow shall take thought for the things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. It'll get here when it gets here. But you know what he said? Colonel, babe, in Christ, you worry because He's not first. If the Bible's right. Am I in the Bible? I think I am. I just read you the passage. Well, now, dispensationally and doctrinally we know, yeah, don't choke on that dispensational hair while you're worrying about that little gnat. Don't be swallowing a camel. He uses kingdom of God for a reason, because it is applicable for us, because worry goes from Adam all the way until the last person is here, until the great white throne. And he is saying the cure for worry is prayer and thanksgiving and praise and thanksgiving, and put Him first. What a message for a church to have. Let's just put Jesus first. Wow. What a message right up here. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. People be like, this ain't the church for me. They know how much these shoes cost, how much this belt cost, how much this watch cost, how much that car cost, how much my house cost, how much this hairdo cost. I mean, after all, I'm a prancing poodle. So was Sapphira. She came prancing in late and lied to the Holy Ghost and dropped dead on the spot. Could I give you a couple more? Matthew 10. If you leave, you can hear it in the parking lot. What you so jacked up about? I'm actually excited. Because the Lord is beginning to show me personally a couple of things. I'm learning some things. I like it when Jesus says, sit down, boy. He don't like, come on in, Rev. How you doing, Rev? Good to see you, Rev. How things going? He ain't like that with me. He said, come on in and sit down, boy. Have a seat down there. You have to ask Mary to move over. I need to talk to you. So get out of the kitchen with Martha and sit down on your blessed assurance and shut up. You ain't got nothing to add to the conversation. Okay. Here I am. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Really, you're my servant? Could you define that term, please? Well, now, Lord, what that means is, I mean, I will take orders from you, but I ain't about to take orders from nobody else. Oh, then you're not a real servant of mine, are you? You ever wonder why sometimes you wind up with bosses you have? You say, yeah, because they're all jerks. No, because the Lord's trying to show you something about yourself.
probably trying to show you what other people see in you when you're trying to tell them what to do. But I know when it's you, different, ain't it? Why'd you get quiet? Whew, I'm pumped. Verse 19. When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in the same hour that ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh. Now, the charismatic messed that thing up. What he's saying there is that when the time comes, you've done all you can do. God's the one that gives you what to say. You can prepare till the cows come home, but don't prepare so much that you work Him right out of the message. You get brought into a rough situation. You've been trying to do right and trying to live right, and all of a sudden, man, what am I going to say? Hey, I've done what I can do. God, give me the words. Trust me when I tell you, His words will be better than your words. Have you ever been concerned about things you shouldn't be concerned about? Matthew 13. Full of care. Full of worry. Matthew chapter 13. Just a couple of more. I'm trying my best to get you out of here before 8 o'clock. I ain't come back, preacher. We done been here for 2 hours. Well, praise the Lord. We enter into His gates with praise and thanksgiving. Tonight, when you go home, here's what I want you to say to that television set, or to your stinking internet with your YouTube foolishness. Okay? I didn't watch TV. No, but you watch YouTube all the time. See, nobody knows it's the same thing, if not worse. Well, I control that. You control it or it controls you. Anyway, look, whatever. Just listen to me a second. The next time you sit longer than an hour in front of that computer or in front of that TV, I want you to say to that TV, my goodness, man, I done been sitting here an hour. I done been sitting here an hour and a half. I've had enough of this. I got bees in my britches, ants in my pants. I got to get out of here. If you sit on your blessed assurance at work to do your job, you tell your boss, I done been sitting here an hour. I got to go. Come to church. My goodness, man, it's Wednesday night. Don't He know we got... Yeah, the Lord knows you got work tomorrow. But you ain't going home and go to bed. You going home to shuck off and sit down in the chair till 11:30 comes after you done watch the news. And whether I know or not, the Holy Ghost does. Well, I don't. I go home and go straight to bed. Well, God bless your heart. I bet you'll sit at a stinking ball game for hours. You come to church and sit your blessed assurance on a padded pew with lumbar support. Yeah, I guess you don't have really time for Jesus. You know, it's kind of like, preacher, I just wanted like a little thimble. Can I just get a little cup, baby, and just, good. Just a little talk with Jesus. Until one day somebody's in a mess and you want more than a little talk. Your marriage is coming apart at the seams and you don't know how to get down there and do anything but say, "Oh Lord, on Channel 4 it said this and on Channel so-and-so it said this and I looked it up on Google and it said that and it said this and it said that." You couldn't find it with a stinking flashlight. And now you're mad at God because He didn't come through in your time of deep distress. He came through. He was right there. He did exactly what you needed. So you don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Honestly, you just, well, bless you, go to the charismatic church where they can just tell you you're all that in a bag of chips. And everybody just loves everybody else. I just don't agree with that. Okay. Matthew chapter number 22. We got to hurry. Matthew 13, verse 22. Excuse me. Thank you for turning. Watch it. Bless you again. He also that receives seed
among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Uh-oh. I just found, Brother Williams, another reason why the word doesn't go in. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. Oh, it ain't the preacher that's dry as cracker juice. It's the care of the world, the worldly things, the foreign things, the things going on in the world. The care of that chokes out the word. Why? That thing is connected to the old man. The word is connected with the new man. Yeah, but they hurry, turn on the news. Did you see what happened? You know, Trump was laying down over there to Putin and he looked like a flip-flop fish over there. And, oh, it's just terrible. He's dropping in the polls and what are we going to do? And I got no idea. How'd you know that? I looked for about 3 minutes today and I'm like, what a bunch of baloney, man. Your polls. But the reason you care about it is because you're thinking to yourself, how would they poll me? How would they poll you? And how would Jesus poll you? You know what you can do? You can be real high in the polls according to the world and be low on his totem pole. A couple more and we're done. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll cover these other things for you on Sunday. I'm going to finish with this one because it's 8 o'clock and I didn't want to lie to you. Look, if you will, please, in verse number... Well, let's just pick it up and... Well, let's just pick it up in 21. Bear with me, okay? 7:21. Art thou called being a servant? Care not of it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Whoa, what? As they say nowadays, whoa, what? Wait a minute. Yeah, whoa, choke on the what? You know what he just said? If you're the Lord's servant, you're free. That don't even make any sense. But that's our position in Him. What's a servant to another servant? A servant. You say, what is everybody? Nobody. That means we're all the same. Ain't that a blessing? You got nothing to brag about. You say, why? I'm a servant, you're a servant. Nah, 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 nah. Being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You're bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for present distress. I say that it is good for a man to be so, a man so to be. Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, that time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. You ain't special because you're married. Doesn't mean you ignore your responsibility. It means that you ain't special because you're married. What a drag. I'm something special. No, your wife's blind. In verse 30. And they that weep as though they weep not. You're not special because you had trouble. This is Paul talking. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. And they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, nobody among us is anything but a servant. And no matter what you are, what you have, what you've been through, whether good, whether bad, whether rejoice, whether sad, you're not special. You're just saved, going to heaven in God's little rowboat. Man, if you get a hold of that, you know what you realize? Shoot, man, half the stuff I worry about is connected with who I think people think I am. What happens if I lose this or lose that or do this or do that? Lord's like, yeah, what of it? You're going to lose it all when you get ready to come up here anyway. Guess we'll start getting shed of it now. The question would be, is it have you or do you have it? I don't know. Philippians 4, he says this, we're closing. Philippians 4, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We'll cover that some more on Sunday morning, maybe not as vehemently, but here's what he said is, he said, the trouble comes in your life to reveal what you are so you can improve. It's not me always beating you. Unless you got a guilty conscience, can we go to another level and not think every time you bump your head on the doorpost it's because you did something wrong? It might be the Lord's trying to knock some sense in you. It's not always Him getting on to you all the time. My dad would bust my tail when I was wrong. But that was only a portion. My dad would raise his voice, but not all the time. I didn't get much time out. I got my punishment, and then it was dried up. That's over. Let's go. Time out was not anything he knew anything about, except something you called on the football field when somebody was hurt. I realize I'm giving you a lot to swallow. What I'm giving you is not milk. It's meat. It's not for a carnal baby. Don't expect everybody to get it. Some of you will go home with tears and look for your binky and your bottle and curl up there with your best friend, the electronic friends. And you'll look to see what their impression of you is. And if you got a few thumbs up, you'll feel fine. I went to church and I got smashed. Okay. I went to church. Dr. Jesus showed up tonight and gave me a diagnosis and told me I needed to grow up a little bit. And you know what the problem was? Is I thought I was more grown than I really am. And can I say this? I'm right there with you. I don't speak it as a full grown. I go over this stuff and it's nauseating after being saved 56 years. You would think I would have learned something by now. Pastoring here 30 years. 29, 30 next March. So 29 and however many months and however many days, how many hours. You would think I would have this part down pat. You talk about under conviction. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't go to them places and do them things. The Lord's like, okay, neither do babies. Come on in here. Let me show you a couple things. Want to take a test to see how old you are? I'm like, yeah, sure, great. You going to ask me something about dispensations, you know? Yeah, sure, man. No problem. I teach in a Bible school. The Lord's like, yeah. This ain't stuff that you learn in a Bible school. This is stuff the Holy Ghost teaches you if you'll listen. If you'll listen. Because it's some stuff you obviously don't know. Or you wouldn't be so